Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Director and screenwriter Amanda Nell Yu's feature film debut, Tiger Stripes, focuses on the life of a rebellious and carefree 12-year-old girl, Zavon, as she starts to experience horrifying physical changes to her body. Struggling to maintain being normal at school, Zavon is in denial of her inevitable changes and tries to cover herself and hide from her friends. Like so many great independent films, this is one that entertains us and causes us to think about the bigger picture, all in service to a wonderfully told story. We're joined today by the director and screenwriter of Tiger Stripes, and that would be Amanda Nell Yu. Amanda, welcome to Film School Radio.
Hi.
Hi. I truly love when an independent film and filmmaker take chances. And in your film Tiger Stripes, you certainly do. And what I mean by that is it takes on something as rudimentary to the human experience for women to begin your period. And yet through this story, you illuminate so much more about the social ramifications, sort of what can happen to a young woman going through one of the most rudimentary experiences that she can have as her body begins to change. What inspired you to make Tiger Stripes?
I guess it's my sense of humor. I always thought like a lot of stories through either a rage or an anger, but with humor behind it. And so I was having this memory of what it was like when I was growing up and when I was going through puberty, and how, you know, everyone around me thought I was a monster. And even at one point I thought I was a monster. I rejected my body. I acted quite violently towards, you know, the changes and, you know, also the first time I really started feeling insecure about, you know, my physical self. And so I was like, okay, like, let's make a film and like actually make a girl be an actual monster and push that. Like, what is a monster? You know, what if you label her as a monster, she's going to show you what she really is. And I'm going to question whether you're with her or not, basically. Yeah.
So it sounds like this story has been gestating in your mind for a while. Now, this is your feature film debut, and you've done a couple of short films before this. Was this always something you felt that you were destined to make, this story, this film? Or was it something that popped up after a couple of the previous films? You thought, maybe it's time to take this one on? Or how did that sort of become what we know now?
Yeah, I think it slowly popped up when I grew up in Malaysia, and then I grew up in the UK. And then I moved back to Malaysia, you know, in my late 20s. And I started making short films when I came back. And it became this obsession of making these films that were dealing with folklore, dealing with a lot of characters that were very well known in our folklore. And they were mainly women. And coming back, you know, in my late 20s, I felt like such an outsider returning back to my own country. You know, I was often, you know, rejected, or I was often being told, you know, I don't belong here. I'm not really Malaysian enough and I should move back to the UK. And it was really painful. And so I started making these films about these creatures or these monsters, these female monsters, and I could relate to them. I felt like they were my heroes, in fact. You know, like I feared them when I was a kid, but then growing up, I was like, oh, actually, I want to have her powers. I want to have that rage. I want to find a way, you know, to kind of find a place in this world where I deserve to be here. And so making these short films connected me with my identity as a Malaysian, but at the same time as well, you know, opened up this, my love of horror, my love of genre. And again, you know, that humor that I have that kind of ties in with horror sometimes. And so it was making those short films that developed into this feature. Yeah.
I want to get into more of this, the particulars of the story. I think this is a good chance for us to sort of, I mentioned Zavon in our introduction and about what she's going through, changes, and euphemistically for going through puberty and beginning her periods. And this is where I think the real filmmaking comes in. The way that you kind of set it up at the very beginning of the film, we see this sort of, I'll call it sort of bringing nature into the storytelling from the very first frame of the film. We're in nature, in the natural world, if you will.
Yeah.
And then we see it manifest itself in what's happening to Safwan. Yeah. And also the other part of this that I want to explore it as well, and that is the dynamics of the people in her life, her parents, particularly her mom. There's a lot of women's different perspectives on this in the film, yeah, which I truly appreciate in that. I talk about that sort of dynamic of the natural world and how this all kind of plays into it.
I think, you know, it was really kind of setting up this character, you know, who has so many questions that need answers, right? And then she just needs a place to go to where she feels safe to be herself and start questioning about what's happening to her, the world around her. But she has nowhere. It's like I've set it up where, you know, she has her best friends that's supposed to be her entire world. And again, you know, they don't have the answers. Her mother doesn't have the answers. Her teachers don't have the answers, or they don't want to give the answers. And so she's struggling to find a place. And then eventually she goes to the place where, you know, it's incredibly dark and terrifying and also incredibly beautiful and full of life. And so she goes to nature to kind of have these curiosities or a place where she can learn more about herself is really towards nature. And it's really this idea of movement from, you know, buildings and structure and standing in lines at school and to something that is more messy and wild and moving to you know, to nature. And every location you see, there's always nature in the background. Like even the school has this beautiful mountains at the back. And every time, you know, you see her at home or at school, you always hear this kind of motif of this bird singing and calling out to her. And so it's that movement of like where to go when you have nowhere else. And that's also part of the fairy tale and part of the fantasy of the story. Yeah.
And also the element of violence is introduced through nature, through the natural world, part of a yeah. cycle of life. Quickly want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Amanda Nell Yu. She is the director and screenwriter of a terrific film called Tiger Stripes. It's coming out here in Los Angeles on June 14th. It's also going to be opening in other theaters, hopefully near where you are, and be looking for it. Again, June 14th. And going back to our conversation about women and the natural world and the connection between those two things, and also explored in the film is the context of women in a school for women run by women, who are certainly not encouraging women to have power or agency over their own bodies or their own destinies. Is that a fair way to put it?
Absolutely. I think that was definitely the intention, you know, like this idea of like, oh, women supporting women and making life a better place. Like, oh my God, no. Like sometimes the most strongest kind of like advocates of patriarchy and this kind of system that we're all suffering from are women against other women and this kind of repetition of that. And I think that was definitely an intention to build this world where it's all full of women and who has these like differing ideas. It's basically Zafan against everyone else's kind of viewpoint, and I like to put it as like a social viewpoint. But then of course later in the film you have the bigger villain, like I guess boss level villain, Dr. Rahim, who comes in and he's you know a very prominent man in the film, and you kind of see how it trickles down to you know what he says and the rest of society, or at least in this microcosm, the village, and how they kind of follow and fawn over him. Yeah.
And as you said, Dr. Rahim is there in a matter of speaking, to restore order, to bring things back to the way they should be. And I hesitate to put it in terms of this idea of folkloric kind of tales, because it's just misinformation. It's just, let's be honest, it's bullshit, but it's constantly being reinforced by a lot of people.
Yeah, he comes in and he's like, "I'll fix this." It's
Yeah,
like
I'll fix you.
such a simple thing. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like, "Oh wow, you know so much about this, I guess." Yeah.
The film, and I don't know if this is a stretch. It may be a stretch. I've been mulling this over. That the film reminds me a little bit in of American Werewolf in London, because there's the humor that goes along with the transformation of the character,
Yeah.
which I and again, it's one of my when I was growing up, that was one of my favorite movies. I really kind of locked in on it because I think really horror draws people in ways that
Yeah.
other genres don't. And so I when I was watching it, it just sort of reminded me of it. I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if you would object to
Anything is fair, honestly. I
that.
mean, I grew up such a huge horror fan, so all these films, like American Werewolf in London or The Fly or Carrie, like was obviously an influence into my brain, like growing up anyway. So it's how I kind of view things because of these films. So yeah, they were a huge inspiration, like when I was growing up, like.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about her friends, her circle of friends that are around her. And there's a transformation within there's three I call three main friends that she has in the film. And each one of them has their own arc.
Yes.
So again, intentional, I'm certain of that, but I just like the way their arcs play out in the film. Even they grow, I mean, at least one of them really there she goes through a whole transformation.
Yeah.
Terrific stuff. I just like that. I don't even know if I have a question. I just want to congratulate you on being able to have that many characters and be able to kind of manifest their own stories in such a, yeah.
Thank you. They're great, and I love each character so much, and I think it's because there is a little bit of me in each of them, with their own little growth or not growth. It's yeah, parts of me, a lot of my experience growing up, a lot of girls that I, loved and hated and was jealous of and respected, and all of these emotions, when you were a teenage girl, like it all came out when I was writing these characters. And so it's always this play of like, yeah, like that female friendships aren't as cookie cutter, like, oh, we love each other. Because sometimes that love can have so much darkness and so much, like, to the point where there's jealousy, and that becomes this other spectrum of what love is. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think all these girls really performed and brought these characters out to life. Yeah.
Well, and just to pull on that thread a little bit more, and that is when you are a boy turning into a man, your body, your outlook goes through a lot of changes. And how many of us who at the age of 12 or 13 had the best friend in the whole world, someone you've just assumed would be around forever, and by the time you get to 16 or 17, they're gone, and that's more the norm than not, right?
Yeah.
And for me, that is so much of the brilliance of Tiger Stripes is that this progression within the context of your own body and your own mind, but also the world around you, and how that manifests itself in the lives of these young women who are all going through some or will go through some version of what we see going on with Safwan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the recognition that you have received as a filmmaker for Tiger Stripes. It won the Critics Week Grand Prize at the Cannes Film Festival. It was Malaysia's entry into Best International Feature for last year's Academy Awards. It's been a really remarkable level of recognition. What have you taken away from all of this? What do you want to do with it moving forward, in terms of what you have in mind as a filmmaker?
I mean, the accolades and the journey has been incredible, and I'm like, couldn't have asked for anything better than that. I think I'm always a very go with the flow kind of person, so whatever pops up, I basically jump through it and like, let's try everything once. So yeah, just accepting the journey and following it. And at the moment, yeah, I do want to kind of work on and my next film and start writing it and everything. Yeah.
Are you in the midst of all that as well right
Writing, yes, that's the one of the everything is going crazy, but it's a process.
I just want to take a minute to recognize some of the performers in the film. I thought they were all terrific, and particularly Safreen Zarazal, who plays Safwan, who does a wonderful job. And I think really you get a lot out of her, and she gives you a lot in this film performance. Also, her friend Farah, played by Dina Ezrall, and Miriam, played by Pika, and others in the film. Everyone's terrific. And my congratulations to you on your work here on Tiger Stripes. You are the co-screenwriter along with Sam Halle, and also the director. And you, again, we've talked about the recognition the film's received, and certainly looking forward to more work from you. And hopefully you'll come back and join us again here on Film School Radio. The film, again, is called Tiger Stripes, and we've been talking with co-screenwriter and director Amanda Nell Yu. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.